The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon is Randy Wood, Vice President Sales for F5 Networks. Good afternoon, Randy. How are you?
John, great. Great to be here.
Well, we're going to focus in on networks and network security here with F5. But before we do, Randy, tell us a little about your background and how you wound up working for F5, please.
Sure. So I'll take you back a few years, John. First and foremost, I'm a former Marine officer. Spent 8 years total in the United States Marine Corps. Got out, became a technologist a few years later, wound up at Cisco Systems. I spent a total of 13 years at Cisco Systems, two tours of duty, if you will, a little startup time in between. And just 2 years ago, I found my way to F5, where I've been responsible for the federal business since then.
And somewhere along the way, you've got some education there too, MBA, is that right?
I have a degree from the Virginia Military Institute in math, of all things.
Wow.
Doesn't make sense, a Marine in math. And I have a master's degree from the George Washington University right here in Washington in Management Information Systems, Information Technology.
So you got an academic background, got a military background, you got a little practical background with a big company like Cisco and F5, so you've got a big tool set bringing to the discussion today. The last time you were in the studio, we talked about software-defined networks, and we talked a lot about that and Cisco and routing and everything else. I want to maybe switch the conversation a little bit today, talk about applications. Jim Benson was in the studio here. He talked about a four-letter word, apps, APPS.
Sure.
And this seems to be the focus on for everything today, for software development, for cloud applications, for mobile applications. And let's talk a little bit here about security and apps. And what has F5 got to do with this anyway?
Well, so I think that's a great place to start. Let's start about the application. The first point I'll make is applications matter. Applications are really important. And I think that's an obvious thing. Maybe we don't think enough about it. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that there for the application goes everything else. It goes compute. It goes storage. It goes things like routers and switches. Think about applications are a manifestation of how we professionals do our jobs. We do it through applications. And so that's what this whole business of IT is really about. And F5 recognizes that, right? We're all about providing, delivering an exceptional application experience. And by experience, we mean things like availability and performance and increasingly security. Security is table stakes for that application experience. So applications matter, John. Application experience really matters.
So what's this concept of a zero trust model?
Yeah, so if you look about the most recent hacks and data breaches and compromise of data here recently in the headlines, most of them have at least one thing in common, and that is a user, an organization's compromise of some level of trust, right? So it's trust that we give to these bad guys who ultimately do bad things, and so this zero trust model is a new concept, not a terribly new concept, but a way of thinking in which really, we trust nothing. We trust no user. We trust no access request. We trust no device, no endpoint. We trust no application. And so we apply different layers of security services and mechanisms to establish a comprehensive level of trust.
So that's where F5 fits in. I think it's going beyond the network now, isn't it?
It's well beyond the network. It is, we'll talk at some point, I suppose, about the idea of this new perimeter. But it's a world based on two things. It's access and it's applications, right? And it's access to these applications from users independent of time and space and the device that's in front of me. And that's a heavy, heavy expectation that we put on our IT departments and, more importantly, our security group within federal agencies.
Before the interview, we were chatting informally, and I was trying to come up with a kind of simple analogy that someone could understand. And I was thinking about, well, you know, there's firewalls and there's intrusion detection systems and everyone's looking at that front door and they got two locks in the front door and then the bad guy gets in the back door. And so what's happening is maybe there's too much focus on locking down the network. And then what about these apps coming in and access to apps and authentication are allowing the bad guys in? You can probably look at the last three or four headlines of the Washington Post and agree with that.
Absolutely. So it used to be that if you didn't have a network, you weren't a serious player. You weren't considered to be a serious player in the security world. That's all changed now. It is about the application. Our applications are simply under attack. Sometimes the network is the way in, and at almost at all times, in all instances, it's some compromise of trust. So the expectation now, the burden upon what we have to secure is not insignificant. The stakes are very high.
So tell me about this context when it comes to apps and security.
Yeah, so it's funny. Well, I get this question a lot. What in the world does F5 know about security, right? And I find myself having to establish my security bona fides, I guess, if you will. But what we know about security is, if we don't know anything else, John, we know context, right? Because of where we sit, turns out we're a full proxy architecture, and that's a technical way of saying, hey, we do some pretty cool things at layers 4 through 7 that most other people don't do. But it affords us a real look into context. And the context of the conversation, if you will, that's occurring between the client and the application. So by understanding context, we get a whole new level of visibility into what's going on. And through that, a new level of intelligence, which allows us to make better decisions and ultimately apply better and increasingly dynamic policy changes based on the context that we see occurring in the network.
I have a friend who has 6 kids, and he's got to buy a new couch about every 3 years. They wear it out watching football and everything else. So he went to buy a couch, and his credit card company called him and says, hey, what's going on here? This is unusual for you, large purchase. And it was a location and a size of purchase. So I'm trying to have that was the context of his purchase. And so if someone normally signs in from the continental United States and all of a sudden signs in from Africa, that's a contextual start of the conversation, isn't it?
So
context.
Geolocation within an IP data flow is key, right? And that is very important context, which provides a new level of visibility and a level of intelligence that otherwise goes unnoticed. And so with that, in your example, that geolocation information, think about the decisions I can make and the actions I can take. Because every time I see this data conversation occurring from this source, this destination, and now it's showing itself in a new way, it allows me to make decisions and, again, make policy decisions on the fly and increasingly interact with other peer vendors, FireEye, for example, to do something different with respect to advanced persistent threat, right, and to look at this traffic in a different way. So all sorts of new opportunities, but I think the common denominator here is a new level of context that we otherwise wouldn't have.
I was on Twitter early this morning, and I saw a fun fact, and the fun fact was that 25% of mobile users replace their devices annually. They break them, they lose them, they upgrade them, they get another one, they're sick, they get mad at their provider. And so I'm just thinking of a situation in the federal government. I mean, they're changing mobile devices all the time, adding mobile devices. That's another context there, just the type of device that accesses it.
The type of device, the context and the form of client is critical, right? What type of client is accessing me right now? Is there any typical normal behavior that I previously baselined with respect to this particular application access data transmission? So client context is key. And again, it enables us to make some level of decision and take some level of action based on what we think this should be, what we know this to be through normal sort of analytical understanding and process.
So if you determine that Joe Smith is in the correct geolocation and he has authorization to use an application, that still doesn't mean that the server is healthy and it's not vulnerable. So there's a lot of players, a lot of moving parts here.
A lot of moving parts. It's not just one. It's not one silver bullet that's going to solve the security problem, the security challenge. It's a lot of things working together. It's not that we ignore certainly the firewall or even the virus antivirus client that had been so popular that sits on the end user device. But increasingly, we need to pay attention to the application. We need to focus and understand that application experience is key, right? That's what this whole IT investment ultimately is about. And so securing these applications is really, really important. And there's a lot of new ways, new things that we can take advantage of now that I think in some cases we're not, to better secure these applications.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about F5 networks and a little bit of a different angle. Instead of talking about the network itself, talk about applications and application security and what F5 can do to help my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, Randy Wood, Vice President Sales, F5 Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon is Randy Wood, Vice President Sales at F5 Networks. And when I think of F5 Networks, I think of networks, of course, and mostly about software-defined networks. But maybe going to switch gears here, talk a little about applications and maybe applications on the network. And before we went on break, we started touching on this topic of a zero trust model. And so does it work? Does zero trust model work? And why should my listeners, my govies, even be concerned with the zero trust model?
So I think it does work, and I think it's starting to catch on. Again, it's not a new term. It's been out there for a couple years. But it gives us a framework and a way to think about how we build and architect security into the network, but increasingly more important, into the applications, right? And the idea is, John, the network perimeter that we've known and come to recognize has changed. It's changed dramatically. And it's moved from this very structured, rigid sort of view of the world to this this kind of flexible architecture, which is, again, based on two things, users and access and applications. And that could be users in the cloud, applications in the cloud, on-prem, hybrid, any device, anything in between. And my expectation, a federal agency user's expectation as a mission user, is to access that application, again, independent of time and space and the device in front of me. And so we're doing that in this world of zero trust, where we have to use advanced encryption and access mechanisms to first establish trust and then make that enable that connection.
I don't want to air any dirty laundry here, but I think this is everyone knows about the OPM hacks and break-in. Now, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think that was a failure of the firewall. I don't think that was a failure of any intrusion detection system. It seems to me, if I put the piece of the puzzle together, this had something with access and authentication, didn't it?
Access, authentication, and a level of trust, right? It goes back to trust. And you can read prominent security reports, annual security reports that are readily available on the internet. And almost in each case, they point back to this idea of trust. And we live in a world of trust. And when we give trust and it's compromised, these things happen. And I think that is a common denominator in most of the recent data breaches and attacks that we've seen.
You know, years ago when I was taking these security tests, you know, you'd study four or five books and take these long multiple choice questions and get a certificate, you know, and put them on your wall. And I learned about SSL, Secure Sockets Layer. And for the longest time, Secure Sockets Layer was great as everything. And I don't think that many people use it. Where's this fit in with the discussion?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think a great transition here. Increasingly, things like advanced persistent threat and data loss protection, those are things that are making headlines in technology today. And at the expense of overlooking some of the obvious things, one of which is SSL, right? SSL has been around for a very long time. It's not new to the world. You'd be surprised to know that only about 30% of the major commercial internet-present companies use SSL to secure their...
Wait a minute. That's a fun fact. That's a phrase that pays. 30%,
only
that's
30%.
All.
Only 30% of the more popular, and those are the more popular sites. And so SSL deployment is growing at, it's estimated at 20% per year. I suppose the federal government more or less follows those trends. So the idea of SSL is simple. It's data confidentiality, data protection in transit, right? It's encrypting data, negotiating that encryption between the client, if you will, and the application, such that data is encrypted in transit. It was typically, traditionally, I think, a harder thing to do, right? It's not, it's technologically complex thing. But you know what? Over the years, we've earned a lot of scar tissue, and we've learned a lot about SSL, SSL deployment and architecture, and the underlying cryptography has evolved dramatically. We're at a point now where I think SSL deployment, especially in the federal government, is table stakes, right? It is, in fact, we call it SSL everywhere at F5. The opportunity is to deploy SSL everywhere to protect your applications and that data in transit.
It, Monday morning quarterback, it's always easy to look back and say, well, I woulda, coulda, shoulda. But it does seem like it's more important. In fact, Google's looking at sites now and starting to incorporate that in part of their analysis of whether they're SSL or not, because that has more value to a site if it's SSL or not.
Sure.
What about this phrase WAF? What does that mean, and how does that apply for F5 networks?
So, web application firewall, right? There's the traditional way of firewall, and now there's this idea of web and web application firewall. So it's sort of a specialized, if you will, version implementation that that focuses specifically on an organization's suite portfolio of web applications, right? Such that you can apply firewall type policy on an app. Think of this, John, on an application by application basis. Now at F5 we call this an application delivery controller based.
Now wait a minute. When I learned about firewalls, I had to memorize all these port names.
Sure.
Remember all those port names? This and you get tests on it. So we're not talking about ports now. We're talking about what's going through the port.
Sure. What's going through the ports? Again, back to the context, a whole new level of intelligence and visibility, which does allow us to apply policy on an application by application basis. Think about a favorite question of mine with a typical government customer is, Mr. Customer, how many applications do you have?
Yeah.
And in almost every instance, they don't know.
Of course not. It's
hundreds, sometimes it's thousands. And think about how many of these applications were hastily developed and deployed. Had to have it, got to get it now, and got to get it deployed. And think about what was compromised or not done in the deployment. Almost every time it's security. So now we have an opportunity to go back through F5's view of the world and how we deploy our technology and apply policy, security policy, on an application-by-application basis using things like web application firewalls. We call that, John, no application left behind. I don't care how big or how small, how important or insignificant it is, there's no application left behind, and this technology is available today to do that.
So once an application is secure, that would, it will draw a logical conclusion here is that it would reduce fraud then, I would think.
It certainly
one
reduces
plus
fraud.
One is two, and it's direct to that. I mean, if someone can have access, it's got to decrease the amount of fraud.
Absolutely. You bet. And there are specialized applications of security applications, mechanism services that do that specifically. In fact, we're in the anti-fraud business specifically, as sort of a line of business that we provide, as it turns out, as a service offering, we call Silverline. So we provide distributed denial service and anti-fraud services on an as-a-service basis or on an on-prem basis as a specialized implementation of what we're talking about.
John Koskinen was raised in the same town as I was raised, and I remember introducing him at an ACT event just a few months back. And I really like the guy a whole lot. It's unfortunate there have been some headaches with his agency, and I think a lot of these headaches could have something to do with authentication and apps to authenticate a certain user, and the authentication may appear to be valid, but it's not. I'm combining IRS with anti-fraud and authentication. All of a sudden, this is the pool we're talking about here.
Yeah, so authentication certainly, and the federation of authentication across, authentication tends to be cumbersome in scale if not done correctly. So you'd like to be able to federate your authentication across sort of a common platform to provide no compromise in that level of security and authentication, but to, again, simplify that user experience. As a user, John, I'm not concerned with how much complexity you need to abstract between me and that experience. I just expect that you'll do that. I expect that whatever that technology is, and it is considerable and complex, but that it is abstracted such that I'm focused on the experience.
Now, no self-respecting Marine is going to talk about a poodle, but I'm going to ask you about poodle and Heartbleed. Tell me about those two and what that's got to do with SSL.
Yeah, I gave SSL a bad name, right? That's what it did.
Yeah.
It said, hey, all of a sudden, smart guys, you deploy SSL, and it's not so secure after all, is it? And so what happened is bad guys in the world figured out vulnerabilities in the generally available version, the publicly available version of SSL implementations, and they created attacks and exploitations.
Mm.
Not insignificant, by the way. These are profound shortcomings and deficiencies in these publicly available SSL stacks. And they've since been corrected, but caused a big problem in the SSL world.
Now, I can remember being on the air 5 or 6 years ago, and I can actually remember, using these words and saying, well, at least SSL is still secure, boys and girls. And I can remember saying, and you may have said that too, but that's not necessarily the case today, is it?
Well, I think what you should have said was at least F5's implementation of SSL is still secure.
Yeah.
It's a little shameless, but it's true. Well, it turns out we write our own proprietary SSL implementation, so we don't rely on publicly available, generally available SSL libraries. We write our own. We weren't susceptible to that attack. And we wrote our own SSL stack for two reasons: to be really, really fast and really, really secure. In fact, through a scripting language, John, we have called iRules, we actually wrote a remediation to the publicly generally available version of SSL against the Heartbleed and Poodle attacks. So we solved that problem for people not using F5.
The problem we have to solve is a commercial break. We're going to solve that by taking a break in the discussion here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, Randy Wood, Vice President Sales, F5 Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon is Randy Wood, Vice President Sales at F5 Networks. This is the time in the show I like to remind people that this is also a podcast. So if you're traveling over the weekend, like, say, going to a wedding in Ohio or Massachusetts, you can listen to this as a podcast. Just go to the Apple Store and type in, I think, Federal News Radio, and you'll stumble on this. And what I've learned from my youngins is that, and my students, is that some people read blogs and get information from blogs, and we have to address that. Is there a blog that you read, Randy, or maybe a blog you can suggest my listeners to read to keep up with developments and F5 in general and security?
Yeah, so F5 does have a good blog site. So anything on F5.com within our blog section is all certainly relevant and very pertinent to what we're talking about here with respect to applications. And then I think there's a number of blogs that I follow with respect to security specifically and application security. For me, my focus has been on really staying on message with the importance of application experience and security. And so I tend to gravitate towards blogs that talk about that.
Do you read Brian Krebs at all, K-R-E-B-S?
I have not.
Yeah, he used to write for the paper when I was down there. He's a bright young fella. I have two daughters, and they always cringe when I talk about fashion, but I want to talk about the Gap. No, nothing to do with fashion. I want to talk about the Air Gap. Well, what's this got to do with F5?
That's a great question. This is, this is getting a lot of attention, certainly in the federal government today. So we talked a lot about SSL. I talked about this idea of SSL everywhere, how that SSL is a point where federal agencies really need to take a hard look at deploying SSL in places where it's not. Now, with that said, when you take SSL and you deploy it this way, you run the risk, a very good risk, of taking the very technology that we're using to secure our environments and putting it in the hands of the bad guy, right? The bad guys are going to use the very same things that we're using to do bad things, and in fact, we've seen this over time. So taking SSL on an inbound connection, for example, and decrypting it and inspecting it is nothing new. To your point, the gap, this outbound air gap, we call this SSL break and inspect. This is now, it's a forward proxy implementation of our technology, whereby we take outbound egress traffic from a network, we decrypt, we create an air gap, if you will, between encrypted connections, decrypt it, and we feed it off to, say, a FireEye type implementation for further analysis. So now we are increasing the level of visibility and intelligence into what was once encrypted traffic, which is leaving our organization. Shocking to know that not much of the federal government is doing this today.
And that is a surprise. I mean, you're in the federal government, you're hunkered down, you got your turtle shell on, you're waiting for incoming. But what about what's going out the back door? What's going out that you don't realize? And this is where a lot of the documents obviously escape from the federal government. I mean, OPM again, that's what they pulled out.
When you talk about data loss, where are you losing your data? You're losing your data through your network, right? Not in every implementation, but most often these attacks, these breaches, this is what's going on. So these attacks are perpetrated in very slow, very methodical, patient, persistent ways, whereby some level of command and control information is being exfiltrated, right? So the attackers know kind of what they're doing and how to better guide the attack. And then at some point, the very data we're trying to protect is flowing out the very connections that we're encrypting. And so we have the opportunity and the technology today to decrypt that traffic and hand it off to a FireEye. But here's the key point, John. While not impeding the user experience, and by being able to selectively determine what traffic I want to decrypt and what traffic I don't. Healthcare traffic, I probably want to leave alone. So we give you that extra level of intelligence to make that decision.
I teach my students that they have to be specific. You know, in order to be terrific, you got to be specific. So I'm going to ask for some specificity out of you. Can you give me an example of an agency here that's deploying an SSL solution?
Yeah, I think any federal and specifically DOD agency which shows itself in the service provider world, sort of a more of a service provider thinker, that has responsibility for a broad set of agency applications, agency programs, is increasingly turning to this type of technology. Two things, really. SSL everywhere, and also SSL outbound decryption and inspection. It's not widely deployed yet. It has been something that the technology world, frankly, has wrestled with for a long time because it's not a terribly simple thing to do. And it is performance hardware intensive. So this is something that has to be done in hardware and in specialized devices. So these types of services and applications are just now coming online, but it's really big in the service provider world. You're going to see a big implementation, certainly in the financial world and in the healthcare world in non-federal implementations.
Well, here it is summertime, August, September, kind of hot here. Last summer, I think there was something that heated up. It's called Heartbleed. We mentioned it earlier. Maybe you can expand on a little bit more about Heartbleed and what it has to do with F5 and our SSL discussion.
Sure. So Heartbleed was, again, a vulnerability that was discovered and exploited by a couple of smart bad guys with respect to publicly available SSL libraries, right? So a lot of vendors, a lot of manufacturers will write an SSL implementation. They won't write their own. They'll use open source libraries and write their own implementation. So they're all more or less the same. They share the same code base. There was a vulnerability that was discovered. It was in sort of the heart of that, thus the very cute name that was coined, which created all sorts of vulnerabilities in the very heart of what SSL was trying to protect. Again, F5, we didn't have that problem because we don't use open source SSL libraries. We write our own. And we wrote iRules, a scripting language, which allowed us to solve that problem for a lot of our customers that didn't use an F5 SSL implementation.
So that would be an application for F5's knowledge. And not thinking of just network, it's about the traffic that goes over the network and how to deploy SSL effectively.
Yeah, so there's, again, I've said it before, there's a lot of scar tissue and lessons learned out there. The world knows how to do this now. F5 certainly knows how to build proper SSL implementations that do at least two things. They scale massively, and they perform very, very well. We do this in special purpose devices, right? Hardware devices where we take the offload of that SSL encryption and decryption, even in the outbound air gap case that we've talked about, and we handle that ourselves. So we have purpose-built special devices that do just that. And then we have a level of interoperability, again, with FireEye, where we work hand-in-hand to feed the traffic there. And then if there's a vulnerability that's been discovered, a policy decision can be made and applied to that flow or to that application dynamically and on the fly.
So is an analogy here something about taking a package and X-raying it like the post office does, and so you can take packets and X-ray them before they leave the system? Is that close?
Isn't that funny? That's exactly what it is. That's what we do today. That's what the U.S. Post Office does today. All packages or traffic that leave the post office are being X-rayed. We know just what's in there and can identify contraband. And so it's the same analogy, and it is a little shocking that it's not something that we're doing on wide scale today. I think we have a different conversation 12 months from now, but the stakes are high, and it is imperative that we start doing this.
Our friends up in Gaithersburg at NIST have something called FedRAMP. And where does this fit in with FedRAMP? Is SSL part of that initiative?
Well, I think as we move to the cloud, right, and these cloud implementations, it becomes a big consideration for FedRAMP certification. You know, there's a lot of promise and appeal to federal agencies for moving applications in the cloud for the obvious reasons, the benefits of the cloud. But the expectation is there's still no compromise in security. In fact, I would expect security to be better for my applications and my application experience. And this is certainly one big component of that. And a pretty big checkbox within FedRAMP certification accreditation.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know if you have the answer or not. I'm thinking about my bank. And I'm thinking about every time I go online to see what's going on, it's always under an SSL connection. I never realized that perhaps the SSL stack that they used may be compromised. Maybe. I just assume it's black or white. It's SSL or not SSL, but there's gray areas in there.
Yeah, sure. That's a little bit back to the zero trust model. But now compound that problem. Let's do your banking at the Starbucks down the corner, where the chances of a bad guy sitting there trying to snoop your SSL traffic are much greater than they were 6 months ago. Now, it used to be that that bad guys would capture this SSL traffic and bank on the idea that sometime in the future they'll be able to decrypt that. Increasingly, through things called perfect forward secrecy, that is not a capability, right? So we've solved that problem and therefore made SSL implementations that much more secure.
Let's take a break and continue this security discussion. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Randy Wood, Vice President Sales at F5 Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon is Randy Wood, Vice President Sales at F5 Networks. Not talking much about networks, although guess we are. We're talking about the traffic on the network and different techniques and methods to protect that. And we're talking about egress, which means going away, ingress coming in, and talking about SSL and all kinds of different topics. Many people learn about F5 Networks on Twitter. If you want to follow them, I think it's F5 Networks. That's right. That this handle?
Yeah. At F5 Networks.
At F5 Networks. And if you want to follow me, it's at Ray Gilray. In fact, I retweeted something this morning about Calvin Hobbes. I thought that was very profound, but Calvin Hobbes said a lot of things about data management many, many years ago. You know what happens, Randy, is that, you know, I'm at an event, I'm talking to someone, and they said, oh, I heard you on the radio with that guy, Randy. Now, he's a security professional, right? Now, what kind of phone does he use? And that's really an interesting question. So I've come up with a 10-question test to find out if you are a card-carrying nerd and answer the important questions that my listeners want to know. My first question to you in my nerd test is, do you have an Instagram account?
I do not. My daughter does.
That's not doesn't count.
Strike one.
And how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Two.
That's good. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Oh. Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
I prefer Periscope, John.
Well, now we have some nerd points.
Little
here.
Nerdy, strong back weak mind, not just a Marine.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
An Apple.
Okay. And what's the most popular app in the last 30 days?
You're going to love this. Go get it right now.
Go get it.
Run, don't walk. It's the Smoothie King app. Love that app.
So what's it for?
Smoothie King. Well, it lets me obtain and redeem points. It lets me find the closest Smoothie King. It lets me go in and
Smoothie King's an ice cream place?
Smoothie King is a smoothie place.
Oh,
I see. It's a chain smoothie place. There's one about 1.5 miles from my house.
Not that
they know me by name. And so I get my healthy smoothie, but I love that app.
And break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we see floating around there?
You're going to see 4 tablets.
That's healthy.
All iPads.
That's healthy, yeah. And when was your most recent post in social networking?
I did an interview for Federal Computer Week about 2 weeks back on this very subject. You can find at Federal Computer Week, and I did a LinkedIn post.
Good. And look on your. When is your Apple Watch due? When's that? When's
yeah.
you order that?
So about that Apple Watch.
You didn't order it, huh?
Didn't order it. Don't have it. Not
too
on order.
Bad. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was electronic on my iPad.
Good. I was asked to speak at a Apple user club, and they come up to me afterwards. They were more interested in my watch than the whole topic. They're so watch-focused over there. And I have this little black, simple watch that only has 4 numbers on it, and that's all they want to talk about. Where'd you get the watch? Oh, it's from Denmark. Oh, does it do this? No, it's not a smart. It's just a watch. It's just the watch question is going to be the big question, I think, in the next couple of years, and see what kind of apps, four-letter word apps, are working on the watch, and our govies have to be sure that these apps are secure, which brings back to SSL.
Sure.
Tell us about the product again. What's called Air Gap Egress Inspection?
Air Gap Egress Inspection with SSL Intercept is the name of the solution. The solution guide can be found at F5.com or Dev Central for our power users. They know all about Dev Central. We have created a deployment guide for the AirGap egress inspection with SSL Intercept. There's also an SSL Everywhere microsite at F5.com. If you go to F5.com and search SSL Everywhere, you'll get to that site. There's a number of white papers and, again, deployment guides for the outbound use case that we're talking about here.
So zero trust, is that just a description? Is that a product, or is that just a concept, or it's capitalized on my notes here? So what does zero trust really mean?
Yeah, it's a concept. It's a framework. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of approaching security and security architecture. And it's a term around which a lot of people, security professionals, have gravitated as we think about how to do security better. Let's trust nothing. We'll trust no one. It begs, it's sort of ironically, when did we trust anybody? But now we mean it, right? And we mean it at all aspects of that application access experience.
I talk to a lot of different people who use all kinds of different systems, and Salesforce is one of them. And some people will say, well, I don't want to use Salesforce because I'm not sure of the security in the cloud, which is the big question of security. And so you think this SSL issue is something that is in the back of the minds or the front of the minds of the users who are listening to this? Or is that something that is not even considered? Where's this SSL fit in? And, okay, I'm not comfortable in using the cloud. Is it in the discussion anywhere?
Well, so I think that's a great question. It's sort of in two dimensions, right? As an IT security professional, it's what I think about. It's what I do. It's a big part of how I keep the application secure. As a user, increasingly, I just assume that it's a secure experience, whether it's in my day job or while I'm shopping at Amazon.com. I have an expectation that experience is a secure connection. Especially, I'm a Bank of America customer, so when you go into Bank of America, you have an assumption that is a secure connection. And so that's back to the trust, though, right? I'm giving the trust. I trust that this is connected. And it's up to the architects, the security professionals, to make sure that is a secure connection. SSL, as it turns out, is how that, more often than not, that traffic is encrypted.
Now, when I think of the word encryption, I used to study AES encryption, this or that. And years ago, I kept thinking of the word slow down. I mean, this does tax a lot of systems. And so faster connection, faster CPUs. I mean, does there speed hit when people talk about using your services?
Yeah, so if it's not done correctly, if it's not architected correctly, deployed correctly, speed becomes a real issue, right? So these are purpose-built devices. In the F5 speak, we call this SSL offload. We offload your SSL encryption, decryption, key management, crypto requirements into these special purpose, special built devices at F5. It's a big IP device that is built to do this at massive scale with no compromise in performance, right? We do other things along the way, but we don't rely on your firewalls anymore or your web service to do their own encryption, decryption. We take care of that SSL up to and including key management, which is a big part of key and certificate management, how SSL works.
So let's say someone from the Department of Transportation is listening to this interview and they say, oh, that Randy's full of hooey. I don't believe it's not going to be a performance hit. And then your response is going to be, well, in Missouri, it's the show me state, and I can actually show you. Is there any demo? Is there an easy place for us to take a look at this and say, I want to kick the tires on this because I don't know, this can't be true.
Yeah, so this is great technology to demonstrate. In fact, we have really compelling ways to show this and make this very visual, very tangible. So F5 is currently in partnership with FireEye. I've mentioned FireEye a number of times. And an integrator, a really special integrator, ClearShark, where the three of us have come together in FireEye's Mandiant location in Old Town Alexandria. We're standing up this capability. We can bring customers in and show customers how this works, the performance that we can get, and the level of inspection and visibility and intelligence that we can derive while not impeding that application experience. So you can contact your ClearShark rep, your FireEye rep, or your F5 rep to see that capability.
I imagine someone's going to type in SSL vulnerabilities, SSL federal solutions, maybe F5 SSL solutions, and contact you and say, no, I want to take the train down to Alexandria, and I just want to see it. You know,
sure.
I don't talk to Randy. I don't talk to Joe Schmo. I just want to exactly see it. And I think it's almost like, you know, seeing is believing or actually believing. It is hard for me to believe that something can be encrypted and decrypted that quickly and not take a hit, especially with the size of files going through my system.
Yeah, and it's interesting to know it's not just something. It's in the case of scale, it's millions of something, right? This is the real world. And the expectation is that, again, you're going to secure every aspect of that data conversation, that access application conversation, with no hit in performance, right? And that's back to the experience that I expect to have.
I asked that silly question about the Apple Watch, and we all know that was just a lighthearted question. But devices are changing all the time. You know, today's Apple Watch is tomorrow's Android Fitbit, and that's the next week's different type of a device. And who knows what the devices are? IoT's everywhere. So the question is not the IoT. The question is, if it goes through a network and it's secured, and if it's encrypted, well, then who cares if it's an Apple Watch or an Android Watch or some Fitbit, huh? As long as it's encrypted carefully, it's fine, because there's going to be new devices out there.
Well, and so that's the point of where we started this conversation, say, 40 minutes ago. It's about the application. It's about the app. The application is a manifestation of how I, as a human being, live or work or play or learn or do, you know, interact with my children. Increasing the applications let us do that. My expectation is I'm going to have an exceptional experience, and the experience is going to be secure, right? And that's what F5 stands for, exceptional application secure experience, which is at all times secure.
I'd like to thank you for the interview here, Randy. We'll have to end today. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Randy Wood, Vice President Sales at F5 Networks. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Experience the difference of Federal News Radio every workday morning with The Federal Drive with Tom Temin, 6 to 8, and In Depth with Francis Rose, 8 to 10. More analysis and insight on issues critical to your success from two veteran journalists who've covered the federal market for decades. And you get it all before lunch. Experience the difference. Weekday morning, 6 to 10, on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.